Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles. Show me the way. I'm here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are bringing to you a wide-ranging news about all the different sports in the U.S. and across the world today, especially the New York Jets and the New York Giants. We will be talking about their schedule that has just been published. We'll give you our views on the number of wins and losses that they will both potentially have next season. We'll also talk about the amazing Ja Morant again, having so many issues socially and how to conduct himself. So we are going to have a conversation about how athletes, especially younger athletes, are dealing with social media and being in the public eye and what our perspective of that is. And then finally, as always, we are talking about NBA playoffs and about my team, the Philadelphia 76ers, blowing it again in the second round. We'll talk about that, as well as the Knicks and how we view their season. Is it a good season? Is it a bad season, given that they were picked by all the prognosticators to come out of the game with the Heat as the winner, and they didn't? So we got a lot in store for you. BT, I was just looking at that schedule of the Giants, and yep. Man, I don't know how you can get 8 wins. I know the odds makers in Las Vegas are saying 8.5, but that's a tough schedule.
And what's really something for me, as I was discussing with you off air, is that I don't know how Las Vegas always gets it right, you know, but most of the prognosticators are not picking the Giants to even make the playoffs. And I think in that division, you got to get at least 9 or 10 wins to get into the playoffs. So it's going to be a tough task. But see, the optimism for me comes from Coach Dabo, because he seems like he knows how to teach people. He knows how to put people in the right position to win. And if he continues to do that with the addition of that great tight end, Darren Waller from the Raiders, and some of the speed they got with John Hyatt, University of Tennessee, and that offensive center, John Michael Smiths, I just think that already is showing improvement. And as I told you last week, one of the people from CBS Sports said he thought the Giants had one of the best drafts of anybody. But all that again is prognostication. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into the schedule. But when, like you said, Las Vegas knows something. I don't know how they get it right, whether it be their computers and their AIs taking all the data that they put in and coming out with a number. But 8.5, especially looking at the schedule, looking at the first quarter, and we'll break it down by quarters for you guys to let you guys know how we feel about first quarter, how many wins they'll get in the first quarter of the season, as well as the last and what we think they'll end up with. But when you look at Dabo and his coaching staff, they got their work cut out for them, because I think this is a prime opportunity to see how they can build off of last year and put them in an elite class, because that's where they want to be. They paid Daniel Jones a ton of money to run this team and get this team to another Super Bowl. And although Saquon doesn't have a contract, he's going to play an integral part of this team as well on the offensive side of the ball. They need to utilize him a lot more. Hopefully he can have a healthy 2023 season, so they can utilize all the different skills that he brings to this table, because I think they're going to need that skill set that he provides, that offensive side of the ball, in order to get through this tough schedule. And defensively, hey, you know, a lot of people are going to earn their money on the defensive end. Hopefully some of the moves that they made at cornerback, drafting our guy from Maryland early in the first round. Hopefully he provides a much needed support to that DB core, but also the linebackers that they bought in. Hopefully that they can provide the necessary stoutness and toughness that that defense will need to take on this juggernaut of a schedule.
Well, he had some positive things, because even Kayvon Thibodeaux, he's going to be better, because at the beginning of the last season, I think he missed the first five games of the year because of his knee. And I think this time he'll be, if he can begin very strong at the beginning, he's going to help the Giants with their pass rush. And then I hear so many great things about Deontay Banks, the right cornerback out of the University of Maryland, Giants' number one draft choice. They say that he's not scared of anybody. And I like that kind of attitude from a defensive back standpoint. If you can get somebody, almost the Jets have like a Saucy Gardner, you know, he can have a shutdown corner. You can play 10 on 11. And I like that. If the Giants can play 10 on 11 because of Deontay Banks being a shutdown corner, that's going to step their defense up even more.
Absolutely. And when you look at, think about the potential of the offensive line. They have some good veterans. Andrew Thomas is another year older. Yep. So hopefully another year mature and understands the game. Now the game comes to him. Having a lockdown right and left tackle helps not only your entire offense, but it gives that quarterback, Daniel Jones, the confidence that he needs, that he can take his time in the pocket, survey the scene, and make the right decision and determine the right receiver to throw the ball to. You look at this, look at just the offensive line. You got Andrew Thomas, Ben Bredesen, you got John Michael Schmitz, you got Evan Neal, who is coming off of a shaky year. And we expected that as a rookie, yep. right? And so, yep. and then you got Mark Glowinski, who's coming in as one of those free agents that they bought in. Hopefully that provides some stoutness and some comfort to not only Daniel Jones, but to Saquon Barkley, understand that they're going to make holes for him to run through, and hopefully he can stay healthy an entire year. And then not only now focus on Darren Waller. I think Darren Waller should be like the Davante Adams for Aaron Rodgers had in Green Bay for all those years. Is yep. that go-to receiver? It's really what David Carr got the type of money he got, because he would always look for Darren Waller when he was on the field. So I think, even though the schedule is tough, and we'll get into it now, I think on the offensive side of the ball, they got some key pieces that'll allow them to have some success, especially given, look at the first quarter, they play Dallas.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
The first game of the season, and everybody's picking them right 1-2 with Philly. And they always have a great team. They just don't know how to put it together. And hopefully that dysfunction continues. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, and I'm always worried, because, you know, they swept the Giants last year, both in Dallas and at MetLife Stadium, and I think that they improved a little bit on defense. They say that they got a better receiver now. So I just think it's going to be a tough situation, but I'm not giving it to them, because in the NFL, any given Sunday, something could happen. And I think if the Giants continue to improve, they can make it a good game. And that's a September 10th game, 8:20. And I think I'm going to have to say, I don't think the Giants will be successful on that one. So I'm going to say they start the season 0-1.
But don't you think that is kind of a barometer of how the season will go? I think all of the seasons, that if you look at over the course of the past 10, 15 years, that first game is almost a barometer of how the season goes. Think about it. The year after we win the Super Bowl, guess who we play on Monday night? Dallas. And we lose. And the season wasn't as great, right?
Yep.
So Dallas, I think this game, especially if we win, will be the litmus test, and it'll give everyone a sigh of relief as to, okay, we got this. And I guarantee you, will give the team confidence to know that they have a really good team despite the difficult schedule coming up. And think about it, Arizona Cardinals, no one's picking them to be good this year. especially given their new head coach. Not sure about Murray, the quarterback, if he can get it all together and be the type of quarterback that they drafted him to be. And so if you're looking at the second we get in Arizona, I would kind of mark that as a win, hoping that they don't improve that much to be such of a challenge.
Well, see, I think it's the positive thing for the Giants is that this will only be the Cardinals' second game of the season, and that they're still learning the system. And you know that preseason really doesn't do a lot for you as far as helping a team mesh, because you really don't see the game-like conditions that go into it. So I think that's where I've seen the difference in football. There's really no preseason because they don't play the veterans or your good team mates in the beginning. So I think it takes three or four games in the beginning. So I think that's why the Giants have the edge on that. So I'm going to go Giants beat the Cardinals, and that's 1-1 starting the season.
I'm going on the upside and go 2-0. Because I'm hopeful that, because this is another year under Brian Daboll, this is second year, they're used, Daniel Jones and the rest of the offense is used to the system, defense is used to the defensive schemes, and hopefully that will give them a head start to jump out on teams early. As you said, beginning of the season, because not a lot of teams play their starters at all now during the preseason, these first couple of games are like preseason games, and hopefully they're getting these teams at the right time where they can sneak up on them and win some games. And I think they have to prepare that way, given how tough the schedule is. The next game we're looking at is San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. I think because these two are back-to-back, two West Coast teams back-to-back, I believe the Giants are planning on staying on the West Coast and hanging out there. And so it may be to their advantage to be in San Francisco, to practice in San Francisco, acclimate themselves to the time change, and hopefully have a chance to at least put on a good showing. I guarantee you they'll give themselves a shot to win if they are 2-0 coming into this week.
Okay, what's the date of that game?
It's a Thursday night game.
That's what it says. So they got 4 days rest between the Giants in Arizona and then the 49ers in San Francisco. That's a tough situation. Thursday night is always tough, and San Francisco is always a hard place to play. Their defense is very good. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, because they still don't know, but that's the hope, that they don't have it together by then. But they got great coaching there. So that's going to be a tough one. I'm gonna say the Giants are 1-2 at this point.
Yeah, I'm going 2-1. It's a tough turnaround. I'm hoping that the Arizona game is an easy game for them, so it's not a terrible trip to San Francisco right after that. Yep. And think about it. It lines up easier for them because they're already on the West Coast. The travel from Arizona to San Francisco isn't that long, so it gives them time to acclimate, give them time for their bodies to get acclimated to the environment and to the time. And so I'm hopeful that it's a good game. I agree with you. In my eyes, they're 2-1 at this point. Next is Seattle, coming back east, playing the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is always tough. I mean, Pete Carroll does a great job as it relates to their defense. They always have a defensive juggernaut. And last year, Geno Smith had an amazing game against the Giants. And hopefully, and he's coming back to MetLife Stadium, right? Geno coming back to MetLife. And so I'm hopeful that they can be 4-3-1 leaving, given that Seattle has to come all the way across back east. And I'm hoping that they can pull this one out.
But see, I'm thinking that because of that trip, that's the longest trip you can have, like a 6.5-hour plane ride from all the way from the west to the east. And usually when you do that, most teams don't have success. So I'm going to go 2-2 on that one. The next game, the Giants play the Dolphins on October 8th. Dolphins got a good team. They had a good offense. It's going to be scary because the Giants' defense is going to have to step up. But I don't know if the Dolphins have the defense to stop the Giants' offense, especially if they get everything geared up front. So I'm going to say the Giants are going to be 3-2 at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. 3-2 versus Dolphins. That next game against Buffalo is going to be tough as well. They're playing in Orchard Park. Not a great place to play. It's early, though. It's in October, so you're not dealing with the weather. Yep. So they do have a chance. For me, I'm going at this point, let's go 4-2. They get a win. They get a win at Miami and come back and lose at Buffalo.
Well, see, I think it's the opposite because I think Coach Tabel has Bill's number. That's why Josh Allen didn't have a great year. They didn't make it any further in the playoffs because the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator were not there. And they got a new coaching staff. They didn't play as well last year as they did before. So I'm giving them a victory. I got, 4-3? Yeah, 4-3 Giants.
Yeah, and then you got Washington Commanders. I think now that Daniel Snyder is no longer the owner of the team, that's a scary team, right? And even though they're playing.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
At MetLife Stadium, I'm scared of that team. I think because they're playing at MetLife Stadium, they have a chance of winning this game, and I'm going to give them a win.
Don't move a muscle. We'll be back with more as we go through the Giants' schedule. We're about halfway there. You listen to The Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way, and we're just having fun with the Giants' schedule. And when we come back, we'll finish the second half of it after these messages.
And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me The Way. I'm here with my partner in crime, the BT Express. We are taking you through four quarters across the world of sports, specifically New York Giants, New York Jets. We actually finished half of the Giants' upcoming schedule, giving you our thoughts and predictions for the Giants' upcoming schedule. We're going to finish up the Giants' schedule and go through the Jets' schedule in a few minutes in this quarter. And we're going to finish up with the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
Right now, I got the Giants at 5-2. Billy has the Giants at 4-3, right, Billy?
Yep.
So our next game that we're going to talk about is the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers. This will be a fun game. A sellout game. It's a home game for the Giants. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this game plays out. But it's truly now. Both teams are hopefully coming into this season on a high note. Both teams got winning records. And what do you think? I'm picking the Giants. I think their defense can handle Aaron Rodgers and their dynamic skill position players. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. It's no gimme. And I guarantee you this week, Las Vegas is going to have the Jets on top. But I'm picking the Giants.
Well, the thing that scares me is the Jets defense because they're top five in the NFL. And if they get in the offseason, they say if they get a quarterback, that takes them to 10 or 11 victories, and we'll see that in just a minute. So I'm a little scared. I'd hate to go against the Giants on this one, but because of the Jets' defense, I think that will propel them for victory. I got the Giants at 4-4.
Yeah, I got them at 5-3. I'm hoping that they can pull out this game. Our next game is the Las Vegas Raiders. They're going out to Las Vegas in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I don't like this trip. Hopefully they leave on Saturday night, so that they won't have time to hang out in Vegas. But Vegas is tough. It's a West Coast trip. That trip is always bad. Vegas isn't – I don't know how their team is going to be. They got a new quarterback out in Vegas, Garoppolo, see what he can do. I'm curious. It just depends on how the Raiders are coming into this week. If they're not doing well, they have a losing record, I'm giving it to the Giants. If they have a winning record, I think the Raiders will win this game. I got it. I'm going to give them an L for this one. They're 5-4 for me at this point.
Well, see, the thing that I am hopeful is that because the new quarterback is in there, he doesn't know the system as well. But he played under Josh with the New England Patriots before he went to San Francisco. But they say, he's a manageable quarterback. But if the Giants can put up some points, and shut down Adams, their great wide receiver. They don't have that that tight end anymore because he's going to be with the Giants, and I know he wants to play well against his old team. So I'm going to go with the Giants on this one. I got 5-4 the Giants at this point.
Perfect. We're actually getting close to one another. Getting there a different way, but we're getting it. Now we're playing the Cowboys in AT&T Stadium. This is going to be a tough game. I don't see them winning this game. I'm hoping that they do make it a good game, but this is a tough game for them to win.
Well, see, I think the Giants can beat the Cowboys out there because it really is not a home field advantage to the Cowboys. I mean, their fans are kind of, you know, a little bit ridiculous, but I think that because it's not a great home field advantage and Eli used to beat them there. I mean, Eli won the first game at AT&T Stadium that ever was played there when the Giants played the Cowboys. So I'm going to go with the Giants in an upset. So I got 6-4 Giants.
Yeah, I'm 6-4 too, just because I gave them this loss. So we're still even. We got there a different way, but we're even. Next is Commanders in D.C. I think we have the Commanders number. I'm giving them a win for this one.
I'm going with the win too because – I don't think Washington has everything together. They don't know really who the quarterback is, and they got some problems over there. Their defensive end, who was supposed to be one of the best ones in the league, I don't know if he's going to play this year. So I'm going to go with the Giants in this one, and that puts them at 8-4.
Yeah, and then we got New England. Then we got New England coming to Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium. I think we got New England's number. You got to still give Belichick his due. He is a great coach. He does do a great job game planning. But I'm not sold on their quarterback. I'm giving him a win for the Giants.
That's a tough one because every time Belichick comes to Giants Stadium or comes near this area, he has a victory, except for the Super Bowls. Even when the Giants won one of the Super Bowls, they played the Patriots before. And but even though the Patriots won 38-36, or some high-scoring game, the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl after that. But in regular season, I think they got their number. So I'm going 8-5 Giants as the Pats beat the Giants.
Yeah, I'm at 9-4. You're at 8-5. I like my 9-4, especially going into the bye week. Back into the schedule is I'm afraid to say a little bit easier. But it's a lot better than the front half of the schedule. If they can win 2-3 games, I think I see 3 games at the back end. They play Green Bay coming out of the bye week at MetLife Stadium with Jordan Love as their quarterback, even though he's had pretty much 2/3 of the season in front of him. I still like the Giants. Then we got New Orleans coming in. I like the Saints. I like the Giants versus the Saints. I don't think the Giants will fare well against the Eagles. They play the Eagles 2 out of the last 3 weeks of the season. They may lose both of those games. I think they have a chance of winning the home game the following week, the last week of the season against the Eagles and Los Angeles. So I see 3 wins out of the 5 wins potential after the bye. So that puts me at 12-5.
I think the Giants will beat the Packers because of the inexperience at quarterback. The Saints scare me because Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback and he's got some weapons there along with a good running back. The Eagles, I definitely think they have the Giants numbers. The Rams, I think they're going to have a tough year this year. Giants will lose to the Eagles. So I got 8-9-10. I got 10-7 for the Giants.
So we should bet the over and we'll make some money.
Okay.
All right. Over 8.5. Let's turn our attention to the Jets before we have to break. We'll go through the Jets real quick and finish up in the third quarter. Jets opening day opponent is no other than the Buffalo Bills at MetLife Stadium. It's a Monday night game. It's part of that Monday night doubleheader. This will be a good game. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers is going to change the fortunes of the Jets, because if they come out this week and win, this town is going to be off the chain.
I think that it's going to be interesting because Buffalo has got to start out hot, but the Jets are the first home game. The fans are going to be ready, and Rodgers is going to be ready too. So I'm going to go. The Jets win this one, and they're up 1-0 on the season.
I agree. I'm also loving the Jets versus Dallas the next week. Think about it. You got you and like you said, they don't. It's supposed to be a home game for Dallas, but they don't typically play well at home. Aaron Rodgers loves playing it in Dallas. I think he's going to have that team rocking and rolling, especially if they're coming off of a big win against Buffalo the previous week. I'm giving them a win at 2-0. They're 2-0 at this point.
Well, if memory serves it correctly, the Jets beat Dallas last year. And if that's true, that's going to give them confidence. And if their offense is a little bit better and they can control the ball with their great defense, I'm going to give it to to the Jets on this one. 2-0 Jets.
Yeah, and I agree. The next two games are New England Patriots at MetLife Stadium and Kansas City Chiefs. I think they'll only win one of those two games. I'm thinking they'll win the New England game. So I'm going 3-1 up after the first quarter of the season for the Jets.
I'm going 3-1 also. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have much of a battle, and I think the Jets will lose that game. New England is always close, but I think the Jets, because of Aaron Rodgers and the offense, they'll be able to beat them. And the next game after that is the Giants Jets at Denver, and I think the Jets can beat Denver because Sean Payton is just acclimated to his star quarterback, Wilson. So I'm going to go with the Jets. But what they told me a long time ago, Charles, is that when you play in Denver early, it really gets to the road team because you're playing above sea level. And I remember running the ball one time. I think I went 20 yards, and I felt like an elephant was on my back.
Yeah, it gets hot. That in Miami, playing Miami. I remember playing Miami in October or end of October. And I'm like, and you know, it's cold in New Jersey in October. We go down there. And Dan Reeves has me splitting out. I'm like, do I even have to run a go route? Because I'm dead tired. I still remember me having a conversation. I forget the DB that was across from me. He said, I ain't got to cover you. I was telling him, you know, you darn right you don't have to cover me because I'm tired. I'm going to stand out here. Just don't make the play and make me look bad on tape. For me, I agree. I think Sean Payton will actually change the dynamic out in Denver. I think it's going to take him a year to do so, especially given the quarterback situation. If the Jets aren't ready, there is a good chance that there could be an upset brewing in this game. But I'm going to give it to the Jets. The Eagles, that'll be a great game. It's good defense versus good defense. They are quick enough, I think, to stay with the quarterback with Philly. And so this is going to be a tough game. They're playing at MetLife Stadium. This is a game that can sneak up on Philly and they could lose. So I'm going to give it to the Jets. So for me, going into their bye week, they got two wins. They're 5-1 coming into their bye week. That was a great record. And everybody would be happy if that were to happen.
It's always funny when you go against your city, Philadelphia. But I just think that the Eagles, they just the cream of the crop, and they improved on both sides of the ball, even though they lost their coordinators. That might be the difference. So I'm going to go with the Eagles on that one. I got them at 4-2 as they go into the New York Giants game October 29th. I'm going to go with the Giants because I think that's where my heart is, but my mind says Jets. But I'm gonna go with the Giants, so they're 5-2 at that point.
Yeah, I'm going with the Giants as well. So we got their different ways, but they're 5-2 on my end. Next is the Chargers. They're playing at MetLife. That's a tough road trip for the Chargers. And it's a Monday night game, coming all the way back east from LA. I'm gonna go with the Jets in that game, and they're going out to Vegas. I think they'll handle Vegas pretty easily. So you got two out of coming off the bye week, I got them going 7-2.
Okay, I agree with the LA Chargers because they're going across, and I think the Jets defense will keep them and stop Herbert and his offense. And then they play Buffalo. Is that right? Buffalo November 19th?
Yep.
And see, I think that's going to be a good game, but I think the Jets will win that one. So I'm going to go 7-2 Jets at that point. And yeah. Then Miami, I'm gonna go with Jets on that one. So 8-2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
One more.
8-2 Jets going into Atlanta.
Okay. I got them losing at Buffalo, going 7-3, winning at Miami. So that's 8-3, winning in Atlanta, 9-3, winning in Houston, Houston coming to MetLife Stadium. And so that's 10-3. They probably lose in Miami. They always have a tough time winning in Miami. They lose in Miami. That's 10-4. I think they beat the Commanders coming to MetLife, and that's 11-4 for me. Cleveland, tough game, but I think they'll win 12-4. And at New England, mark my words, for the division title, they have a chance to go 12-5 or 13-4.
You know, if the Jets win over 10 games, they got a good chance for the playoffs. The thing about it, if they get up to 13 and possible 14 games, they could get home field advantage for a long time. And if the Jets get home field advantage, that's going to be something that New York is going to be really proud of, because I think that MetLife Stadium is going to be shaken. The only thing I don't know, see, Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, I don't know if he's going to improve. If he does, that's going to be a tough out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the Jets will beat Washington. And I think that at New England, it's on a Thursday night. The problem is when you're on the road on a Thursday night, I think the home team wins most of the time. So I'm going to say they have a 13-3 record for the season. And I think that they make the playoffs and they have a chance to get home field advantage, and possibly that will just make New York go crazy.
Oh, what a start to the Aaron Rodgers season. I mean, an era. And so we're excited. Jets are in the playoff. Jets got a chance to win a division, AFC East, for the first time in God knows how long. They last time they won in AFC East, and they have a chance of doing that. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express. Billy Taylor and Charles, Show Me the Way. We will be right back in a moment. And welcome back to The Expressway. You're listening to Charles Show Me the Way and my co-host and partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We have just gone two quarters talking about the Jets and Giants schedules, giving them our predictions. We both predicted that both will win, will be over the odds predictor. We voted that the Jets will make it to the playoffs, have a chance of winning the division, and the Giants may barely make the squeak out a chance to go into the playoffs as a lower round seed again, having no shot of beating Philly this year, given they're the NFC juggernauts, not only the NFC East juggernaut, but the NFC juggernaut, because their team is so good. We're moving into our third quarter. We always kind of talk about something that's kind of highlighted a social issue in society and sports. And the best topic that is out there right now is Ja Morant. If you look at the video that we're about to show you, even after the first time, he sat down with his team officials, he sat down with the commissioner and said, hey, I'm not going to do it again. I won't do it again. And lo and behold, this week, this video appears of him brandishing a gun again. What does that tell you about young players in general in the NBA or across professional sports, but Ja Morant in particular?
Well, see, I think this is a black eye for the NBA, because it's almost like fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, it's my fault, whatever. But I just think that Ja Morant is he's not thinking in the right way he should. And I think he's thinking like maybe he's a criminal, because why would he have to do this? and show that. It's almost like some of the rappers that they get involved with. And I think he's got to realize, just like the NFL, the NBA doesn't put up with nothing. Think about that. They got ex-FBI people that work in the security for both the NBA and the NFL. And if you're doing something like that, they will find out. And I think the commissioner said something like, you will suffer consequences if this happens again. So I think that he should be suspended for the whole season. Because you think about that, that sends so much of a negative message to the fans, the kids who look up to him. He's only 23 years of age. And for him to act like that, and his contract is something like $257 million, where he's making $40 million a year. If you're doing that kind of money, you should be the CEO of your own company. And you should not put that kind of publicity out there. So whatever he gets, he deserves. And I hate to say that, but you know, he's one of the best players that I've seen, young players I've seen, and the NBA has got a whole bunch of them. So I just think that he's made poor decisions. He's hanging around with probably bad people, because why would you do that around people that are helping you in your career? So I think he's got, from a business standpoint, I don't see how this helps him at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. What in the people that are hanging around you, what in their right mind would allow you, given if you're a good friend of someone who's probably paying your way to hang on, to be a hanger on, why in your right mind would you allow him to post that video? Or why would you post that video of him brandishing a gun? You could see the fact that, and it probably was live, so he didn't know what was happening, because you could see once he sees the gun in his hand, he puts the camera down, he brings the camera down, like, what is going on? We just screwed up. And so I just don't know. I think Ja Morant hasn't completely matured yet. And just the optics that presents, especially given how our environment is so sensitive about gun violence in America today and all of the mass shootings that we have, and how we're trying to try to diminish the aspect or the sparkle of having a gun, because this isn't a gangster lifestyle. I mean, we're not watching the show Power. We're not back in Compton and Boys in the Hood, where back in the day, that's what they wanted. You know, that was looked up to, and everybody was, it's a different time. We're trying to set a standard for our young men and young women that look up to these guys.
See, the thing about it is that, okay, whatever I made in playing the NFL, I always, you know, tried to do the best I could by meeting with a banker, my agent, who talked about 401ks. And now the NFL, as you know, Charles, everyone has to put a little bit of money in their 401k. And I just think that with all the stuff you have at your hand, all the resources that you have, for you to be caught on a video with a gun for the second time is inexcusable. And the thing that I learned is that there's over the gun population, the gun sales have gone up something like 150% in the last 3 or 4 years. And I don't like that because of all the shootings that we have, you know, and I want them to get those armed AK-47s off the street. And if we can do that, then the other thing is, I just think Ja Morant and professional athletes should be more of an example. I mean, you look at what LeBron James is doing. He bought a school for $10 million. He's taking care of all the third graders in Akron, Ohio. He buys them bicycles, and he's paying their way through college. Why can't he do something like that? And I think if more athletes would pay attention to that and start buying and, you know, helping other people, you got to have a write-off anyway. But, you know, now they're, you know, the way that they're doing it now, you know, I see the guys with big chains and all the big cars and stuff. And, you know, I think that stuff is useless, especially when you get older.
I think the mindset of players is different. They're still young. They feel as though that they're going to be playing for 10, 20 more years, especially in basketball. I think football is a different story. Especially depending on what position you play, you are making more money than when we played in football, but I just think it's a different animal. You're getting more guaranteed contracts. You know, in basketball, Ja Morant is one of the superstars of the NBA. He's going to make $200 to $300 million in over the course of one contract, and has a chance of making close to $500 million or more once he does the second contract. So I think that looking at it as a professional, being a business person, isn't in their mindset or at this time in his mindset. Whereas LeBron, when he got in, he surrounded himself around people that would kind of mold him as a professional off the court. And I think being around those individuals, being around those professionals, he had Warren Buffett on speed dial. Come on, how many people have the opportunity to have the richest man and one of the richest men in the United States on speed dial that can help guide him and his financial aspirations? And I think those are the types of people, especially given the people that are surrounding John Morant, I think those are the type of people that are missing in John Morant's life right now.
And see, the bad thing is that from the public standpoint, most of the NBA players are good citizens. And then you find a couple like John Morant and a couple, and they bring the whole thing down because people label them. All y'all are like that. And see, the thing about it is that it just takes one bad apple to mess up the whole bunch. And I think he's hurting the NBA because the talent that he has showed, even when they lost to the Lakers, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, he was one of the more exciting players. He had 45 points in one of their losses, and they played. And he's able to go up over LeBron and Anthony Davis and dunk on them because just the way that he conducts himself. He's got to be one of the highest vertical leaps in the NBA. And the thing about it, he's got to know he's talented because the reason he got the money at an early age is because he made all NBA. The way they do it in the NBA, if you make all NBA or defensive player of the year, you automatically get the max contract. And for him to get a max contract this early, he's not shown that he appreciates it. It's almost a negative to the point where, you know, he expects this. And I hate when people do that because, you know, athletes work so hard to get in a position to have this kind of success. And for him to be able to have generational money, Charles Way, that's incredible. He could take care of his kids, kids, kids. You know, you can go for the next probably 100 years and have that money still in the family if he does the right thing. But, you know, and for athletes to go bankrupt this day, especially in the NBA, that means you've totally done the wrong thing because you got enough money to go through stuff and still not have to file bankruptcy for anybody. Making $40 million a year, you can afford to make mistakes and still be okay.
You're absolutely right. I think the negative connotation is the fact that he's glorifying the rap. It puts the stereotype of thug life in full frontal mode for everybody. And I think that's a negative part about this whole dynamic in the video that came out is like, hey, the thug life is where I want to be. And if you're really trying to help your family and your friends and your neighborhood or people back at home that are trying to make it out of poverty, that's not how you do it. That life is not how you make it out of poverty. That actually puts you in jail or dead. And so when you promote that lifestyle, it doesn't do anything to help the people that you're trying to help, so-called trying to help, with all of these foundations you've started and all the people you're trying to help. You're just promoting a stereotype that doesn't benefit the people you really want to help. But I have a question for you. Let's flip the script because we're talking about a negative connotation. Let's flip the switch. What if Ja Morant, given what he's done and the picture of what he's did previously, he goes out shooting skeet with a double barrel? Would that change? Would it still be a negative connotation where he's just shooting like clay pigeons? He still has a gun in his hand, right? Would people be on him as much if he had a long gun shooting clay pigeons for sport?
Or went to the shooting range and was just working on his skills there.
Right.
The thing about it is the NBA says they don't allow anybody in the NBA to have a gun. There was a guy named Gilbert Arenas who played with the Washington Bullets. That was the name before they became the Wizards. He was the last person to brandish a gun, but he was in the locker room bringing it out, and they suspended him for a long time. And that was just the first time it happened. They don't want this. If you think about it, it does you no good. And sometimes when a person has a gun, they say that when you bring it out, you better use it. And I don't like the connotation of it all. I don't think that you should ever have anything around. It's almost like Burris of the Giants when they cost you guys a Super Bowl. The Giants probably could have won the Super Bowl if Burris had been confounded to the way that he should have and not brought the gun in the nightclub. I think it's a negative. I think if you have to use that, because the resources of the NFL should say that if you're out somewhere and you have a little buzz and you can't get home, there's an 800 number you can call for someone to come get you. So there is no excuses these days for you to mess the system up by you using bad judgment.
And think about what happened to Jason Williams.
Yep.
He ended up in jail by accidentally shooting his friend because he was playing around with a gun. And that's what could potentially happen with John Morant, playing around with the gun, not knowing the safety is on or off. You could accidentally shot somebody in that situation. And I think that's more to do with understanding your surroundings and situation and all the things you have to lose and the consequences of your actions than anything else. And I think right now, hopefully, and everybody was saying, hopefully he would have learned from the last situation, but hopefully he learns from this situation. I'm sure he'll get a quarter of the season of a suspension next year. He probably will miss 20 games next year because of it, maybe more, because it wasn't on NBA ground. It wasn't at an NBA facility. It was in the presence of his car. So I don't think he deserves a year suspension, but it'll be substantial.
I think he deserves a year because the commissioner last night came on television when they had their draft and said that he had warned them that if you go do it.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Again, the consequences will be deeper. They only suspended them 8 games. So you think they'll go 20? I think for him to send your message out there, you like that, you got to at least go half a season to 3/4 of a season. I think Gilbert Arenas got a whole year. So I'm looking for a year because you think about it. If they can just slap his hands, then people think, well, it's not a big deal. You got to show it's a big deal that you don't want guns in your league. You don't want the repercussion of it, and you don't want the negativity.
You're right. Yeah. And like I said, I agree. I think Gilbert Arenas is a situation. He was actually at an NBA team facility. This was in the privacy of his own car. So gun rights activists, the NRA, they would be all over like, what are you doing? But I'm not an NRA fan, but they probably up in arms. Like, you can't suspend him for owning a gun in his own private car. But hey, does he have a license for it is another question. But you're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We just finished 3/4 of an exciting show talking about the New York Jets and Giants schedule, as well as John Morant's social media situation. Our next up is talking more NBA basketball, the playoffs, what's going on, coaches getting fired, what are we doing? And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way. I'm here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just got finished 3/4 of an exciting show talking about all of the world of sports, talking about Giants, Jets schedules, saying that we both believe they will beat the prognosticators and go vote, bet the over. They will win. Giants will win more than 8.5 games. Jets will win more than 9.5 games. Got finished talking about John Morant and his social struggles again. And what the impact is to not only other young basketball players, but to his NBA career. Next, we are going to talk about the NBA playoffs. And again, I want to cry. My team has not made it out of the second round yet again. And there is so much blame to go around. You kept telling me about James Harden not showing up. He really didn't show up at all. in the playoffs. And I'm like, he showed up one game, the first game when he wasn't around. And that's crazy. So I'm kind of flabbergasted that that went down the way it went down. So I'm upset. They fired Doc Rivers, second coach of a playoff team. Mike Budenholzer was the first coach of Milwaukee. Man, what is going on? Do you think Doc Rivers deserved to be fired, even though he is 7-14 in game sevens series clinching games? 7-14, worst record amongst all NBA coaches.
Yeah, but see, I like Doc Rivers. Always have. I like the way he does things. I like the way he coaches. He's got one championship belt under his hat, but when he won the championship with the Boston Celtics. But this is the thing. He did a good job, and then they get to game six in Philly, and then Joel Embiid complains that in the last 4 minutes of the game, he didn't get the ball. And the thing about him, if you're a bad dude, you're supposed to go get the ball yourself. Just tell him to throw me the ball. And then in game seven in Boston, I told you about James Harden because I've not seen it three or four times. I've seen it five or six times over the years where he didn't show up. He had too many turnovers, missed too many shots. He's not a clutch player. I felt bad for Joel Embiid because, you know, I know he's got a bad knee. He didn't play well. He didn't shoot well. And I think he kind of lost his mojo in that game. But and I can't blame Doc for that because he had him in a position where they could do everything they're supposed to. But I understand the ownership of the 76ers. They want to be able to, because they haven't gone anywhere in 3 years. And they talked about a process. The process is over. I think you got to do something, I don't know, with James Harden. Joel Embiid's not going anywhere. But I think James Harden, I just don't like him in clutch situations.
Yeah, but a lot of this blame has to be on Joel Embiid as well. You're the MVP. I know you're beat up. I know you're hurt. But it seemed like he didn't want to take a shot. He didn't demand the ball. Even in game six, when you know you this is what I'm saying. If you look at the superstars in NBA history that were defined, like Michael Jordan, give me the rock, you ain't going to, and that's who or Kobe Bryant, give me the rock, you go. Look at Jimmy Butler, what he's doing in the playoffs. He single-handedly willed the terrible Miami Heat team to a series win over the Knicks and has a chance to potentially beat the Boston Celtics, the best team arguably in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
So Jimmy, there are certain guys that have that dog mentality. Even Giannis. Giannis plays like, and I'm not saying he is a great player, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have anywhere near the skills as Joel Embiid.
Yep.
And so, and he plays with an attitude that if I gotta win it by myself, I'm gonna win it by myself. I'll lose it by myself, but you know what? I'm not gonna let anybody else take the shots. But Joel Embiid, he's one of those guys that's like, hey, I'm hurting. I feel bad for myself. Oh, he's crying on the inside. I mean, I'm like, come on, Joel. You gotta show some sort of dog. You from Africa. Bring that African Zulu warrior out in you. Let's go.
You know, John, that was funny, man. See, the thing that gets me is that he always has an excuse. And so you're the biggest man on the court. You're way ahead and shoulders above everybody. They really shouldn't be able to compete with you at all. If you got that dog mentality where you just go beat somebody's behind, I don't think you can lose. Because then he's going out there and like I said, you either go out there and try not to lose, or you try to win, or you kick somebody's behind. So if you go out there and kick somebody behind, you let it lay where it may. And whatever happens, when I see a lack of effort, sometimes that gets to me because, you know, you can see effort on a basketball court, especially in the playoffs, because, you know, that's when the rugged stuff comes down. And I got to give Tatum some identification because he put on a shooting show that he elevated his level to one of the top players. He was already a top player, but one of the top playoff players, because to get 51 points on the, you know, at home and to take, you know, a seventh game, I don't see how you can get deeper than that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, Jimmy Butler is the man. What he's doing in the playoffs, he is the man. Hey, Playoff Jimmy is no joke. You know, they gave him the nickname Playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy is no joke. He brings it every day, all day. And I'm scared. If I'm the Boston Celtics, I'm scared of that man. Because that man can beat me by himself. And he's done it and could potentially do it against this series. Even though they have no way. I don't see any way in God's green earth that Miami beats Boston in this series. Because they got too many weapons. But if anybody can do it, playoff Jimmy can do it. And he's willed them into this position. They got a great position. Let's switch our attention to the Western Conference. What happened to the Lakers? They have become juggernauts. I know they just lost their first game against Denver last night. Really wasn't a great game. And Nikola Jokic is like having a beast of a season, his second straight triple-double. 34, 21, and 14 or something like that. Yep. Second straight triple-double. I mean, what is going on? I don't like Jokic's game. He got that Arvydas Sabonis game. Walk down the floor and just figure out how to see people. It doesn't non-athletic, but makes basket after basket after basket. His game is ugly, but it's a good game.
Well, see, the thing that makes me think is that he's fundamentally sound. His footwork is outstanding. He can't jump. You know, he can shoot the ball. When a big man can shoot a three-pointer and take it to the hole like that, you're a triple threat. And that's why I don't, you know, I don't like him as a player, but you got to give him his ID. I mean, even though I think Anthony Davis scored 42 points or 43 points last night, joking. I mean, he led his team, and the passes that he throws. I've never seen any big man, maybe Bill Walton a teeny bit, but nobody. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, some of the great ones, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Duncan. None of them could pass like this, and none of them could shoot like that. So I think that's the area of the NBA that's going to a higher level of performance.
You're absolutely right. It's amazing what they are doing. Who you got coming out of the West? Who you got coming out of the East?
Well, on the West, I'm already scared because, you know, Denver won the first game. But, you know, I taped the game because I looked at the fourth quarter. The L.A. Lakers had a chance to win the game last night. LeBron shot a three-pointer that would have tied the game with about a minute something, but he missed. And I don't like him shooting three-pointers, and I don't know why. And so I think that gives them confidence because now they know how to play him a little better. This next game is crucial. The Lakers got to win. They don't want to go down 0-2 to Denver. Because Denver really plays well. They had 100 points at the end of the third quarter. And then on the East, I just, you know, Miami scares me because they play with every ounce of energy that you could play a basketball game.
That's right.
That's a tribute to Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, the coach, because in any sport, I see if players play for coaches. And even though you really don't think you do, that makes a big difference in the games. So I just think this is some great matchups. I don't know who's going to win Boston, Miami, because if you think about it, Boston, it has more talent with Tatum and Brown and some of the players they have. But then again, when you get playoff Jimmy, that means you're never out of a game.
You're absolutely right. Let's turn our attention to some of the coaching spots that have opened up. Phoenix fired Monty Williams.
Yes.
Milwaukee fired Budenholzer. Philly fired Doc Rivers. But the Miami situation, did DeAndre Ayton get Monty Williams? Because they had a great season. The previous season, they were the best team in the Western Conference, and he was like the best coach, one coach of the year and everything else. And the following season, because he got a little dust up with DeAndre Ayton, got fired the next year. What's going on? Do players run the NBA or what?
Absolutely. You know they do. James Harden probably has something to do with Doc Rivers getting out of there, and it was James Harden's fault. I like Monty Williams of the Phoenix Suns. I really thought he was a great coach, but to go back-to-back in years, losing by 30 at home, I guess the owner had no choice. And, you know, he had Kevin Durant and Booker, two great players. So I think that was, you know, maybe justified, even though they had a great record. Milwaukee, I couldn't understand because they won the championship a couple of years ago. And then I just think the NBA is the toughest league, you know, you could possibly have. And, you know, you got to succumb to the players because they run the show, you know, which is both good and bad. But I just think it's a tough situation to be as a player. You control the coaching aspect of it, and the coaches have to give in to the players probably. And what you have to do, as you know, Charles, is maybe, give in to your superstars.
Yeah, and that's the tough part. That's why I don't think I could do it. It would get so frustrated. I would just go off one day. Like, what are you doing? You're not that great. But you know, Kevin Durant had a lot to say. Devin Booker had a lot to say. I don't know if that dynamic is feasible in for the future. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. You know, Chris Paul is probably on his way out the door.
Yep.
And so in Milwaukee, I don't know how they get better. I think they have a good core nucleus. They got Drew Holiday with Giannis. They got a good team over there that's strong. It's just tough. Philly, what do you do? You know, do you the way James Harden looked? I mean, like, I don't know if you're a Philly fan, you want him back, right? And you think coaching, making plays, designing plays is going to help. You just look awful. You can't move anymore. I mean, I wish Dame Lillard became available. If you're a Philly fan, you want to see how to get Dame Lillard, because if you want somebody taking shots at the end of the game, he's going to take his he ain't see a shot he didn't like. Dame Lillard, he will shoot every shot if you give it to him,
and then touch his watch at the end that it's Dame time. Anyway, you've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. I got to thank Ben back in the studio for making us sound good. And we're trying to get better each and every week as we talk about the Giants, Jets, and then we have a topic in the third quarter, and then our NBA action is in the fourth quarter. So hope you guys have a great week. For my buddy Charles, Show Me the Way, I'm Billy Taylor, the BT Express. Have a nice day, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.